in every part and area of our lives, 24/7. Any thoughts? Any amens? Amen. I asked last week, and I want you to be over the next 3 weeks, or as we do this prayer, 21 days of prayer, just be thinking and pondering about a question. Where are you with God at this time? How much do you depend on the Holy Spirit in your life? When you look up that word enabled in a dictionary, you will see phrases like the power to do something, given the opportunity to do something. Jesus enabled his disciples to go out and to heal the sick and to raise the dead. He spent that time discipling them. He empowered them and he enabled them to go out. Whose power was it in? It wasn't theirs, it was his. And the Bible tells us all through Scripture that we are enabled in many ways. You have a sheet there on your seat. If you don't see one, stand up, turn around, look down. You've been sitting on it. I want you just to keep this and just meditate on some of these scriptures. Do you know Leviticus? I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high. If anyone should be able to walk with heads held high, it is those that have been set free by Jesus Christ. God has saved us. We are no longer slaves. We are children of the living God. Many people carry that shame, carry that guilt, and can't walk with their heads held high. But you know, we are enabled by God. David, there in Chronicles, was enabled to understand the details of the plans that God had given him, that he was passing on to Solomon. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Do you know, and I believe for our Christian lives that we can go higher, that we can soar with wings of eagles, even in the times when the ground around us seems shaky. But he gives us that strength. He enables us to have that sure foundation through Jesus Christ. Acts 2:4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Hebrews 11:11, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. Do you know when that difficult, impossible situation that Sarah faced of being able to give birth to a child, she was too old. As she looked at her husband, he was too old. It was impossible. But the word of God came, the promise of God, that they were going to have children as vast, just like the sand on the seashore, on the beach. So many. And she believed him who promised. Do you know, for some here, as you look at your situation, some of you feel you're past it. I had that word for our connect group the other night there. Some of us feel that we have missed out on something, that we are past God using us. But let me tell you, nothing can hinder God using us as long as you are breathing. Is anyone breathing here? Anyone breathing? Anyone snoring? I'm looking for the ones that are going to sleep. And you will be named next Sunday. No, forget it, I'm not. She considered him faithful. It is God, in Corinthians it says, who enables us to stand firm in Christ. And the verse that I'm going to be speaking on today, just there, Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Today, we're going to look at people who gather together to pray. We're going to look at the power of a praying church, releasing the power of God through prayer. I believe prayer is powerful. I believe prayer is effective. I believe prayer changes things. Do you? Do you? Is it just me? Well, it's me and Sandy. Annette's getting there. The book of Acts. Do you know, we talk about the Acts of the Apostles. Do you know, what they did. We look at the Acts of the church. What the church did and how they got through things and how they saw miracles. But it's also the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because all through Acts, the Holy Spirit is there influencing and empowering and enabling. And it is the Holy Spirit. And I believe for our lives, we need to depend more on the Holy Spirit. Do you know, when you walk into that supermarket, it's not in your strength as you maybe feel led to speak to someone or to pray with someone. It is his presence and his power, because you carry his presence and you carry his power. Do you believe that? Do I believe that? So let's read Acts chapter 4. We're going to read from verse 23. Let me get my Bible. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage? Why do the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Which really says we should expect trouble coming our way. I don't want it, but it happens. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and your will had decided beforehand should happen. So let me just say, nothing surprises God. God is not saying, sorry, I didn't realize that was going to happen. He knows, he is sovereign. And then they pray, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. I pray God shakes us. Maybe God will shake the building, but leave it standing. J.B. Phillips, he spent 14 years translating the New Testament. And then as he finished, he sat back and he began to reflect on just what he had discovered through the translating of the New Testament. And he kept being drawn to the book of Acts and just how its picture and its portrait of the church. And he said, the sick are not merely prayed about, they are healed. Often dramatically and suddenly, said Phillips, human nature is changed. The fresh air of heaven blows gustily through the pages. The early church lived dangerously, but never before has such a handful of people exerted such widespread influence. Long story short, the lasting excitement which follows the reading of this book is this. This thing works. This thing works because the Holy Spirit is here. He is in us. He is working through us. He is not finished yet. This thing works. And we are led to believe, and the many times when we have prayed with people and not seen anything happening, we give up. We give up, but let us keep pressing in because this thing works. Is there anyone sitting here who's been changed by God? Yeah. This thing works. This thing works. Who did the works? God did. The Holy Spirit did. The Sanhedrin, as they had Peter and John standing before them, they asked them a question. By what power and what name did you do this? As they healed that lame man sitting there at the temple, looking for arms when they should have been looking for legs. Sorry, just saw it. I needed to cheer you up. By what power do you do this? And what name? It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It's his power. It's him. Can God use me? Can God use you? Can he? Is he? Is he? Acts, we discover the power of God through the Holy Spirit. The prayer meetings release the power of God as people gather to pray. The disciples waited on the Spirit before they even went out. They waited. But you will receive power, Jesus said. So wait in Jerusalem. Do not leave Jerusalem until you receive the power. And I believe we have received that. We have the Holy Spirit. And I believe we are in times when we need a boldness to step out of that boat and share the good news and pray for someone. Do you know, let's be listening to conversations and let's look for ways that God and the Holy Spirit is opening up just that door of opportunity to say, well, let me say this thing. The Holy Spirit can heal you. God can heal you. God can save you. You've tried everything else. Why don't you try God? Preaching with signs following. And you know, my prayer, because a lot of times I don't see the power that the book of Acts saw. And my prayer for Stephen Holmes, the pastor of a church, God, raise my expectations. Raise my expectations, because sometimes mine just gets lowered because I don't see it happening. But I, every meeting, Annette and I, as we pray, we are raising our expectations because we want to see God. And it's not just expecting it. It is actually doing it. Doing it. Putting our hands on people and praying for God's power and presence to come. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in the pastor. Only the pastor. Living in you. Come on, turn to someone. It's in you. Come on, tell them. It's in you. He's in you. Nearly finished. I'm nearly finished. Hang on to your seat. Hang on. Power is released in prayer. When we pray, when the church prays, the Holy Spirit's presence manifests the presence and power of God. Do you know, I love the revival stories as they prayed in the Hebrides, and they talk about how buildings shook when they prayed. And I think for us, we need a shaking. This house, Stephen Holmes, this house, my body, I need shaken by the power of God. Because sometimes I need to awaken it in my life. I need it. You need it. I know I'm only one step below perfection. You wish. That is why we need to depend on the Holy Spirit every single day. It says, when Spurgeon preached, people were struck down by the power of the word, and multitudes were saved. But behind Spurgeon's preaching was the vital intercession of his praying church. And in every case where great things had been accomplished through the preaching of the gospel, it has always and only has been an answer to the prayers of God's people. So church, please pray for me. Pray for me. I'll pray for you. You pray for me. Whoever's on this platform, even if you are bored with the sermon, you sit there and you pray that the unction and the power and the conviction of the Holy Spirit will come. I want to give you what God is saying. I want to give you what God is saying, an awakening. And when we pray, I believe the grace of God is released into people's lives. Do you know, I think it's a bit further down, isn't it? Verse 33. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all, and there was no needy person among them. Do you know, there was a grace for unity. There was a grace for coming together. There was a grace for that fellowship. There was a grace for generosity. People were selling things. It wasn't their own. Selfishness was out the window. Selflessness came by the grace of God. Generosity, looking after one another, caring for one another, praying for one another. We need, and I thank God for the unity that we have in the church, and we need to keep pressing in for unity in the church. Let's not take our foot off the pedal and assume that we're always going to have it, you know, because it can just take one thing. I've known it. I've seen it in church where we have taken their eyes off of God. We have just let our selfishness get in, what our wants, and it's just broken up that. But let us keep our eyes fixed on God. Let us keep our eyes fixed on God. Power of prayer, a praying church. And I want to encourage you. My prayer is that you would indeed just see just that desire to pray, to come before Him even more. Because you need it. You need it. Do you want to see more change come to your life? Do you want to see more change come to your life? I do. It's only going to happen through prayer and coming before God and allowing the Holy Spirit to show me the areas that need changed. Right. I've said enough. Can we stand? even while I'm talking, if your feet get tired, you can sit down. So, but I just felt I needed us to stand just for a moment. As I spoke, or as I just was doing my devotion this week, I've been going through the Old Testament. I came to a place in 2 Kings chapter 13. And I normally read probably two or three chapters, but I just couldn't get by chapter 13. And I felt God just say, Stephen, you need to stop here because I'm going to speak to you about this chapter. And it was Jehoahaz, the 12th king of Israel, who was there. It talks about him who did evil in the eyes of God. He followed the ways of past kings. He never took that step to put things right. And Elisha was ill, and he was at some point going to die. And so this king, Jehoahaz, wanted to know, did he have the assurance that he was going to see victory? And he knew that he had to get to the prophet before he died. And so he went to see Elisha just to ask, is there victory for me there? Elisha told him to pick up his bow and to put an arrow in it. And they opened the window. And Elisha put his hands on the king's hands and he said, fire the arrow. And he fired the arrow. And he said, this is the victory. It's an arrow of victory. The scholars do believe as Elisha put his hands on the kings, it was that transference of power and authority there, declaring victory over the enemy. We all want victory. We all want victory. The Lord's arrow of victory. And then he says, take the remaining arrows and strike the ground. Strike the ground. Some scholars believe that was with the bow and it was to fire arrows into the ground. Some people believe he took the arrows and he hit the ground with the arrows. But he did it three times and he stopped. Three times and he stopped. And Elisha said, you should have struck the ground five or six times. Why have you stopped? I believe this king was probably unaware of the spiritual significance of what Elisha was asking him to do. I don't know why this king just hit the ground three times. I've been pondering it, thinking about it. Maybe it was apathy. I mean, hit the ground. Hit the ground. And that's it. Stop. Maybe there wasn't that belief that he could have that victory, the spiritual blindness of it. Hit the ground. And you know, for many in our lives, many people, we stop. We stop praying. We stop expecting. We stop. Sometimes there's an apathy in us that we just say, okay, we'll just do enough. But how many of us want to see victory come? And it's hitting that ground. Five or six or seven times until we see that victory in our lives. Jesus says, keep praying, keep seeking, keep knocking on that door. Do not stop or give up. And I want us to pray. You have on the back of that the verses a prayer that was written out. And what we're going to do is we're going to pray this together. Hopefully you've had time to read it. Hopefully you've had time to read it and willing to pray it. And then I want to make space just for God to come and fill us with his Holy Spirit. So take a minute. Take a minute and read. Take a minute and read. And again, you can pray this every day. I'm going to be praying this every day for my life. Yeah, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Okay, let's declare it. Let's speak it over our lives together there. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I close every door that has been opened to hinder my time with you in prayer. I break every ungodly covenant that has been set up against the call of God on my life. I have been set free from the power of every unholy thing that intends to enter into my spiritual life. Lord, show me any places, things, or people that have been strategically put in my path to blind my eyes, close my ears, shut my mouth in the spirit. I plead the blood of Jesus over my eyes, my ears, my mouth, and ask that you use them for your purposes and glory. Lord, thank you that you enable me to pray prayers that bring results. According to your word, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I renounce any soul tie that would distract my mind from prayer and drawing near to you. The spiritual disciplines of the Lord will be my portion. Thank you that I have been created to have a personal relationship with you. I am a child of God, loved by you. I realize my prayers can bring about change in my family, my church, my city, and my nation. I accept that change will only happen when I come before you in prayer. I resolve not to miss the call of God on my life, and I repent for yielding to my flesh, and from this day forward, I yield to the Holy Spirit's leading. Amen. Amen. Can we have our band back? Come on, let's just be in just that atmosphere.